Pianist Misha Dichter likes to talk about a dream he had in a remote area of Brazil. It seems he was there without a piano and had spent at least a couple of nights at a bar in the presence of an overzealous bartender with a memorable cocktail shaker technique.
By the third day, after lounging around the pool in the bar area having the Brazilian drink caipirinhas, my nightmare was that I went straight from there to play the Brahms D minor in Boston, and the conductor opened the score, and instead of a baton, he was holding a cocktail shaker, and he was making this wild motion that I had seen the evening before at the bar to begin the Brahms D minor. I remembered that I couldn't play the piece because I hadn't been practicing for 3 days.
Practice, practice. The pianist's life. The pianist's battleground. Or at least, it used to be.
I come from very traditional teaching. My teacher in California, Aubie Tserko, was a pupil of Arthur Schnabel, and that was the very rigid, rounded hand that was made to be round by the teachers poking a sharp pencil in the palm to make sure that the curvature was just right. Individually curved fingers striking like mallets, total independence and all of that.
It was the pianist Arthur Schnabel, by the way, the teacher of Dichter's teacher, who said, "If I were a dictator, I would eliminate the term practice from the vocabulary, for it becomes a nightmare. I would ask, have you already made and enjoyed music today? If not, go and make music." But practice has changed since Schnabel's day. At the second Van Cliburn International Piano Competition for Outstanding Amateurs, held in Fort Worth, Texas last week, it was hard to find even one entrant who would admit to playing actual exercises or scales. The upright pianos in the long hallways of practice rooms at Texas Christian University, where the competition was held, were constantly busy with pianists, but they were inventing and reinventing their own practice routines.
I usually practice the scales in the third.
Taiwan-born, now Californian, Charles Chien, a flight attendant, does warm up with a drill, but from there, he goes elsewhere.
My Liszt piano sonata requires a lot of relaxation.
Chien says practice is something he accepts, even embraces.
I love the end of making beautiful music, and I know that that comes with practicing.
Chien made it into the finals at the amateur competition, which demands that its entrants be over 35 years of age and be engaged in some form of making a living other than piano playing or piano teaching.
I try to do a minimum of 2 hours a day, usually in the morning.
Down the hall, Stephen Ryan, a New Yorker who owns a Wall Street computer consulting firm, works on his Ravel, but he is calm.
I find that the slower and quieter you practice, the faster and even stronger sometimes you can play. I was just working on Ravel's Ondine, and in the beginning you have a very soft murmur, and to really make it clean, I just practice it very softly. No pedal, and slow, because it's got to start the piece and it's got to be right.
What's the result of the slow practice?
It just kind of murmurs in the background. And unless you can do it slow, you're not going to be able to do it fast.
Ryan took second prize in the competition with convincing performances of Bach, Liszt, and Ravel.
Some of these little passages, these little inner...
Melinda Baird, a semifinalist in the competition, was raised in a musical household with strict rules.
We couldn't play with friends until we had practiced, and that was just a part of the regimen.
She's a homemaker with 4 children.
You get very efficient when you have a lot of interruptions. You know, I do a little... That's the opening phrase I'm playing in about a half an hour, and so I just make sure that it was in my head, or I'd run through a little technical passage. You know, I could do that 10 times in 2 minutes. You know, when I was young, I think I spent more time doing exercises. Now I spend more time doing things that will help me relax. Maybe that's a reflection of my age.
That word relax keeps coming up. Relaxation is the new practice, according to Madeline Bruiser, who gives seminars on practice techniques and wrote a book called The Art of Practicing.
Classical music in particular is so precise, and unlike an improvised form, it's right on the page, and there's a lot of respect among classical musicians for the composer, for the tradition, and a sense of awe even, which is all excellent. But the demands and the competition and the ambition and the sense of responsibility, if carried just a little bit too far, become counterproductive. And if someone deliberately relaxes their mind through some relaxation technique, the difference in their playing before and after that can be shocking.
And what about our professional, Misha Dichter, star pianist? How does he proceed after waking from a Brazilian piano nightmare?
That's usually the first thing in the day. I can never get tired of this piece. And I go through this whole Rachmaninoff suite, transcription of Bach, and then I'll do... If you can do those when you first wake up, you're warm.
Dichter says performing is about courage, and courage is about being ready.
Part of the practice for me, for instance, in the famous... in the middle section of the Scherzo of the B-flat Brahms, part of the practice for that is to sit quietly in the room and hear the orchestra going, bum, 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 and wait, and then at some point you have to face the fact that you have to play one of the harder things ever written. So part of the practice there is sitting quietly in the room and recreating what's going to happen on stage.
Misha Dichter's next performance is later this month at Caramore. The winner of this year's Van Cliburn Competition for Outstanding Amateurs was, as you may know, a Starbucks store manager named Christopher Basso, who lives here in New York. As for those of you who wish for words to live by, here are some by Franz Liszt, the incomparable pianist and composer. Liszt had a sign on his wall warning his students that they must think 10 times before practicing once. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.